Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number four, the letter U.com. After years of working with clients helping me save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, college students, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. With all the ads on TV, pop-ups on the web, texts on our phones, right now we're all experiencing consumer persuasion overload. By far, one of the best gifts you can give yourself is to take care of your finances. So today, I'll cover the five financial steps to take before the end of November. Think taking care of yourself. Think long-term. Think awareness about tax laws that affect you and your money. For many of us, November is the month where you have to make adjustments to your employee benefits at your work or make those adjustments in your financial life. One of the best ways to protect your finances is to take care of these basic financial areas before the month is out. One, health insurance. November is the month that health insurance companies make changes in your policy and in your premiums. I just got the letter telling me my health insurance premiums are going up 10% for the next year. I'm a very healthy person, so I was stunned by this increase, especially after a similar one from last year. That same letter warned me that if I changed to another type of coverage with that same company in order to save money or get different benefits, that I can never return to the coverage I currently have. Nonetheless, I decided to investigate my current policy and how I can best use it. First, I looked up my current doctors, the medications that are prescribed for me, and the hospitals where, if there were a serious emergency, I could find myself in network. Okay, all that checked off. So far, so good. The problem is, as we know, is no one can predict the future and what will happen with our health. Yes, you may know if a close family member has cancer or other disease, but they may have been treating their body like a rental car, and your DNA and habits may be quite different. You may need to have your knee and hip replaced and hope that best doctors for those procedures are in your network. Who came up with these arcane rules and this hideous vocabulary? It is unfortunate that very few of us have a relationship with our doctors and instead have one with our insurance companies, if you can call it a relationship at all. I have a caller on the line, so let me see. We're going to go live with that. Oh, well, they hung up. Okay. If you have insurance through your work and the company you work for is not changing their insurer to get a better rate, it is a good idea to check out these very same issues. Is the hospital closest to where you live or work in network? Many of us carry emergency cards notifying first responders or best friends who to contact in case of an accident or health failure. So you may want to include the hospital where you want to go. Keep in mind, though, that many emergency room physicians or hospitalists are not in network, even though the hospital may be. So if you have a primary care physician, you may need to ask him or her or part of their group to meet you at the hospital if that is a service that they offer. Ask about how to handle these kinds of emergencies. Ask your doctor and your insurance company. Now's a good time while you're reviewing your policy, so you will be prepared ahead of time. Many companies have requirements that employees register any changes they require for their policies this month as well. You may have a new family member or have a change in marital status. Also, you may want to increase your deductible in order to lower your premiums. Remember, too, that the Affordable Care Act requires that most every individual has some type of health insurance, or a penalty could be assessed on income taxes due for this year. The penalty can range from $325 per adult or $162.50 per child, all the way up to a maximum of $975, or 2% of your taxable income above the tax return filing threshold for your filing status. So, for example, if you're married filing jointly, it would be whatever the amount is above that threshold, the amount that says that, you know, this is your tax rate. For 2016, the penalties will be even higher. So take the time now to find insurance that works for you and your budget. The open enrollment period for the Affordable Care policies for 2016 started November 15th of this year. To be covered for the entire year of 2016, starting on January 1st, you must enroll or sign up for your policy by December 15th of this year, December 15th, 2015. All open enrollment for Affordable Care policies ends on February 15th, 2015. Go to www.healthcare.gov for more information. Having health insurance is an important piece of your financial security puzzle. Not only is it a great way to keep your total financial plan from collapsing due to unexpected accidents or illnesses, but it will set you up to be able to maintain your body in much the same way you would take care of your car. Just like you fill your car up with the right grade gasoline, check the tires, and change the oil regularly, a regular checkup will make sure that you're feeding your body the fuel that is best for it, giving it the right exercise, and keeping it in good condition. Maybe you're a little overweight and need to lose a few pounds or need more exercise. Your checkups will keep you aware of your fiscal situation, hopefully prevent a serious illness that could be expensive to treat in money and time later on. In addition, the data that is collected can be used as a comparison in the future or be an indicator that there might be a serious heart, kidney, or liver problem later on. Once you have health insurance, take the time to go to the doctor, clinic, physician's office regularly for preventative maintenance. This is the time of year to familiarize yourself with the terms of your policy, what it covers and what it does not. Know your copay amounts, your deductible, and the features of your policy. You may find that you need a policy that covers more of your medications or a supplemental policy for medications. In addition, after you know more, you may want to look into setting up a health savings account or flexible savings account with pre-tax dollars through payroll deduction at your place of employment. These dollars can be used to pay your copays at doctor or clinic visits and pay for prescription medication copays as well. So when you are figuring out how much to deduct from your regular paycheck each pay period, base it on your actual expenses in these areas. If your employer has not granted you a 2.5-month grace period for 2016 or not allowed a carryover of up to $500 for unused FSA or HSA money, remember the money you don't use in your flexible spending account goes away at year end, so plan accordingly. Those eligible for Medicare are also looking at deadlines for signing up for supplemental insurance, as those policies are often adjusted and evaluated during November 2. You may qualify for a dependent care savings account or dependent care FSA, in which case you can contribute up to $5,000 a year if you're married and filing jointly, or up to $2,500 a year if you're married and filing separately. You're eligible to establish one of these accounts if you have a child under the age of 13 or an elderly parent or spouse who is physically or mentally unable to care for themselves. 2, review your tax withholding rate. Have you gotten large tax refunds over the last 2 to 3 years? Is your only source of income your paycheck from your employment? If so, you may want to consider making an adjustment to the income tax amount withheld from your regular paycheck. You can adjust the withholding taken out of your pay anytime by making changes to the W-4 you have on file with your employer. You want the amount taken out to be just a bit more than the amount you're required to pay in order to avoid any penalties. If you find each year you're getting a large refund and you don't have any other sources of income or capital gains that may fluctuate from year to year, making your taxes higher, you may want to adjust your withholding to be less, so you can have more cash to pay down debt or to use to save or invest. One of the new ways to commit identity theft fraud is for thieves to file a tax return in your name in order to get your refund before you have a chance to do so. If you have a small amount to be refunded or if you owe just a little, having paid the appropriate amount and withholding tax, attempting to steal from you will not be very rewarding for those intent to get your refund. Rather than paying the IRS too much, basically giving them an interest-free loan, make the adjustments to your withholding to better reflect your status in life. Keep in mind that if your life status changes, if you marry or you change jobs, get a raise or a large bonus, you may face a penalty if insufficient funds are withheld. The Human Resources Department at your firm can help you, or if it is a small business, ask your boss or his assistant to help you make the change if it's appropriate for you. 3, set up retirement plans and increase your contribution. If you don't already have an IRA or a 401k or 403b or as a self-employed individual a SEP account, then set one up and make a contribution. If you're eligible for an IRA, you can set aside $5,500 this year with a catch-up contribution for those over 50 remaining at an additional $1,000. For your 401k, 403b, and most 457 plans, as well as the government's thrift savings plan, you can make a contribution before taxes of this amount, which is $18,000 per year. And some employers may even match all or a portion of your retirement contribution. If you are over 50 years of age and participate in your company's 401k, 403b, most 457 plans, and the federal government's thrift savings plan, the catch-up contribution amount is up to $6,000. This money can come out of your paycheck automatically each pay period and goes into an account that you can manage yourself. Each year, the IRS looks at the changes in the Consumer Price Index to see if it meets the criteria for an upward adjustment of retirement contributions as is defined by law. This year, they're not making any changes from the limits from last year. Pay attention each year to make sure you're taking advantage of the maximum that you can put aside in retirement plans so that that money can be there for you later in life. When the time comes to select the investment choices for your funds, be very wary about putting all your money in one basket. I know many employees who worked at Enron, a company that failed several years ago, who had invested all their retirement funds in the company's stock. Unfortunately, when the company failed and they lost their jobs, they also lost all of their retirement savings. In many cases, all of their life savings. Remember to diversify your investments, spreading your risk across many choices, taking into account all of your savings, investment, and retirement accounts. There is a new government-sponsored retirement account called MyRA, or My Retirement Account. This is designed for people who are just starting out, that do not have retirement account options at work, and who are not familiar with investments and who want a safe government-guaranteed savings vehicle. The money contributed can be automatically deducted from your checking or savings account or your and is invested in a U.S. government savings bond. There are no fees for establishing this account, nor fees for maintaining it. You can contribute as little as $20 or more than that. The maximum you can contribute is $5,500 per year if you're under 50, and if you're over 50, you can contribute up to $6,500 per year. You must have earned income to make these contributions. In other words, you have to have earned up to $5,500 per year if you are under 50, and as much as $6,500 per year if you're over 50. To learn more, go to www.myra.gov. Think of it as Myra, okay? Once you've reached a savings level of $15,000, you will then be required to transfer your savings to a private Roth IRA, which will have more investment choices available to you as well as additional fees. This is an account designed to help you save money and build for your future. I really think this is a great idea. It's good for young people who are starting out, who may be working part-time but want to be able to put some money aside. And because of the time frame that will probably take someone to accumulate the $15,000, it could be anywhere from 2.5 years to maybe 5 or 6 years. It will also give time to learn about the investment world and what's out there and what's available. Okay, number 4, enroll in employee stock purchase plans. If you work for a company whose common stock is publicly traded on one of the major stock exchanges, then your company may offer you the opportunity to buy stock each pay period through a payroll deduction plan. Some of these companies offer you a 15% discount on the market price of the common stock on the day of the purchase, giving you an automatic 15% gain on your immediate investment. This is a great way to save money for your future, and that the money is automatically taken out of your pay and you don't see it, but you benefit from saving every time you get paid. Taking advantage of the plan is a good way to set yourself up for future financial success. As I mentioned before, be wary of putting all your money in one basket. If you participate in your employee stock purchase plan, then invest your retirement money in one or more of the mutual funds that are offered to you in your plan, or seek out guidance from a financial advisor as to other choices appropriate for you, for your personal needs, and for the level of risk that is comfortable for you. 5. Review your other employee benefits, such as life insurance, disability insurance, and your flexible spending accounts. This is the time of year when many companies allow you to make changes to your life insurance benefits, where you can increase the amount by paying extra, or where you may have earned a larger benefit because of your status within the firm or your pay scale. Keep in mind that death benefits payable under insurance policies are not paid immediately after death. Find out what documents are required under your life insurance policy or policies in order to have payment made in a timely fashion. You may need more than a death certificate to request payment. Funds may take 2 weeks to a month before the beneficiaries see the money, so it may be prudent to add to your emergency funds to meet the immediate needs of your family in the event of your death. After death, the emotions everyone is going through can delay action if there is not a clear set of instructions left behind for those left in charge. As for disability insurance benefits, it is always good to review when payment begins and the conditions required for payment to accrue to you. You may also want to make sure you understand what the definitions are, temporary and permanent disabilities, and for how long the payments will continue, and when payments will begin, and when they may cease. Having this knowledge will aid you in figuring out how much money you need to keep in your emergency fund of 6 to 9 months of expenses. You may find that you need to accumulate additional savings to defray expenses until you're eligible to receive disability payments. If you have a flexible spending account at work, it used to be that you had to use all of the money in your account by year end. One of the features of the Affordable Care Act was to offer to employers the opportunity to allow you the benefit of carrying over $500 in your account into the next year, or giving you the option of an extra 2.5 months at the beginning of 2016 to use the remainder of the money in your account. Since many health insurance policies reset your deductible to its full original amount, the opportunity to be able to use the money in the first 2.5 months or to have a carryover of $500 to apply towards medical expenses at the beginning of the year is very attractive financially. Check with your employer to see if they are going to offer either of these two extension choices to you as an employee so you can take advantage of this new benefit if it is offered. 6. Change your passwords now. Many employers feature human resource or personnel benefits on their websites, so you can do most of this in the comfort of your own home. In addition, many healthcare providers and health insurance companies also insist that you set up online accounts with them as well. When you do this, make sure you have strong passwords using the NULLS system. This system nulls the efforts of most hackers by using a combination of numbers, that's the N, uppercase letters, that's the U, lowercase letters, that's the L, and symbols, that's the S, more than once when permitted to make a password that is hard to guess or hack. Be careful not to use obvious choices like the numbers 123 or the word password. Avoid using your pet's names or that of your spouse. Keep a list of your passwords in a safe place with copies of your wills, insurance policies, and other life documents, so your heirs and beneficiaries can easily access your financial information in the event of your untimely death. Make it hard for hackers to access your personal information. Take the time to review your choices and act before the holidays are upon us. Setting up retirement plans or contributing to your retirement plans to the maximum amount, enrolling in a stock purchase plan at work, checking that your income tax withholding is at the proper level, and making sure that you have health insurance, as well as changing your passwords for these portals so that you have a new password, you're ready for the new year. Do all of these right now. Next week, I will share with you 7 things that you need to know about how to deal with identity theft. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at MoneySmartsForYou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.